And verse 3, chapter 6. And the Lord said, My Spirit shall not always drive the man, for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Verse 5, this is really the verse I should have started with. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eye of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 17. Verse 9, 17 of Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, O Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. He is to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The third chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are gathered on unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And now the scripture we read this afternoon in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, the end of the verse. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In these scriptures we have contrast. Or rather, the last scripture is a contrast to the previous scripture. But it's necessary to get the background. And truly, sufficient in scripture to give us that. The sixth of Jesus is one of the blackest scriptures in the whole of the Bible that necessitated the flood and was indeed met by the flood when God flooded the earth. Saving Noah, of course. And Noah said there, it repented the Lord that he made man. Man, a grief, yes, a grief to the heart of God, to the heart of the Creator. The 17th of Jeremiah, a scripture to face up to, the Lord tells us in the 5th of, in the 7th of Mark, in the 15th of Matthew, he tells us there what's in the heart of man. 17th of Jeremiah anticipates it. It's not merely the Jewish heart, or the Gentile heart. It's the heart, it's your heart, and my heart. And we have opportunity to prove the truth of this. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is incurable. Its wickedness is incurable. I will all search the heart and try the reins. Now listen, Jeremiah is after Israel and after the law, and if ever there was a right direction for man, the law that God gave, And as a result of this, this is what they said. Exposing themselves to the governmental dealings of God in captivity. And here, this is what it says: the heart is deceitful, whatever else is considered. We come back to this, the heart. But it is deceitful above all that could be considered. And it is incurably wicked. In a situation like this, and we have to do it in this way, we cannot be detached from that state of things only as a sovereign operation of God. Now that's the solemn sign. That is a solemn sign which serves as the background for the appreciation of the scripture which I read. First of all, if this is the outcome of Israel in the best conditions of it, if man can be cultured by the best form of culture, the subject of Jeremiah is God's verdict of all, the result of all. The best is being applied, producing the worst results. In the third chapter of Romans, the summing up is there, and evidence is introduced from every scriptural source, from the Psalms, 14th Psalm, Psalm 7. That is what is stated. Again, this is something we have to face up to in our day. For it is not now only the Jew, but it's the Jew and the Gentile, indeed the whole world. Showing up this. Now we know that whatsoever things the law said, it said they were under the law. And if the Jew was right specifically under that law, the right is there, the moral state of man is like the world generally. That the whole world subject to the judgment of God, duty before God. Now these are very strong things. If we say this is what we have in the Bible, it is something that we have to face up to in regard to in the appreciation of the grace of God and the relationship in which we are living. Now accordingly, we go to the scripture which we had this afternoon. And if in the 6th of Genesis, we have there man as known to God in all times, a grief, and I repeat it, what is said there in the 6th of Genesis, a grief for the heart of God, for out of it we have in Peter, the second epistle, chapter 1, where then we have for the first time man a delight for the heart of God. It's a relief to God, we must see that. And apart from the person who could be that belief, God, we could conclude that God could not go on with man. And I suppose the very flood and the deliverance of those eight had in view as no sacrifice clearly indicates that when he sacrificed, it is God who smelt a sweet savour of rest, and that in connection with the way that God is able to answer all that man has brought in, that God envisages on the basis of the sacrifice of Christ a day which is still ahead, that things God will be able to look upon things with complacency when the whole scene is seen in the acceptance of Christ. Now we may consider this in First Peter and Second Peter chapter 1. And we have to see it as what is it to do the wrong person. But the reason I refer to it, and the reason I refer to the other scriptures, is to show that the consequent links that we have with the first order of things are inescapable to anyone of the human race. And everything would be blue. Definitely, no. But in the scripture such as we have, in 2 Peter 1, this is the hope that God extends to us. And we receive the blessedness, we will go into be with God in what he sees in that blessed man. That in him, in thee, he says, he salutes him. He says, his voice is heard. This is what attention to him. It draws our attention. is my beloved Son. In him, in whom, is all my delight. Now what I want to emphasize is this. Now, links with the first man are inescapable. Indeed, death is welcome. There's a thing like that. But the blessed thing is that it's in that blessed man that God will bless us, bless you and me. And I want to emphasize the point that it's in him that we are accepted. That's what the scripture says. We're accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in that person on whom God expressed his pleasure and his delight and found all his delight in that man. He is the one, and that is the standard of the blessing into which we are brought. If we turn back to the epistle of Romans, it's in chapter 5, where that is gone into the Bible. He says, by one man. It's a matter of the greatest belief that God, in the exercise of a divine prerogative, that he introduces another head. And that's what we have in the 5th of Romans. I refer particularly to the latter half of the 5th of Romans, which is well in red. But for the delight of an exercised soul, there's nothing so recompensing as the 5th of Romans, the whole of the chapter, but in particular the latter half of the 5th of Romans, which is quite apart from cutting the device tables, but this is the way of blessing for his creature. And if Peter envisages the spiritual house, which is comprised of living stones, those living stones are really produced, but we can trace their origin from the Epistle of Romans. The Epistle of Romans deals with what we are in the raw, in the green, in the master way of God. It produces that which is for himself from a state of death and judgment in which we are bound. And through that one man which is expressed in the 5th of Romans, there we are, there's only one man before God. For the one man that is referred to is dead, even though he has a posterity which has the legacy, the growth of legacy which is left. Death passed upon all men. But with one belief, when you read that chapter, God has brought in another man, and it's him we are taken into favor and blessed. Another verse in the 7th of Romans, a very delightful verse, which is often omitted. These are the verses to stir us up in our exercises and to find basically how God effects all this. A verse which affords great relief, and there it is. It's likened to the woman who is bound to her husband as long as ever the husband lives. But then it's the doctrine, and the doctrine which God honors and which we can in our faith do, that it's by Christ that God gives us another husband legitimately, and then from that very source alone there is fruit to God. A married woman is bound to her husband as long as her husband lives, but if husband dies, she's free to be married to another. And so we also have been made dead to the law by the body of Christ, not by our body, but by the death of Christ, that we should be to another. And this is the one that is introduced to us in 2 Peter chapter 1, in whom God has found all his delight. It's in that blessed person that we are brought to, and in the light of the sons of Romans, it's a new husband. Links are broken by his death on the first husband, and to have permanent, eternal links with the one who himself is the delight of God. Now, what a blessed change, what a blessed consequence is, that instead of the doors and links that we had that were inescapable on our part, in the wisdom of God, and we can say in regard to the purpose of God. This is the way, legitimately, how we have to now view ourselves. And so that blessed person in 2 Peter chapter 1, who was so saluted, and was, that the voice of the Father was heard concerning him, it's in that blessed person that we are accepted.